Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. Purport. The word Amrita Bahu is significant in this verse. The Lord sometimes appears like an ordinary child taking birth, but this does not mean that He is subject to birth, death, or old age. One must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord in His incarnations. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chamedivyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. One should try to understand that the Lord's appearance and disappearance and His activities are all divyam, or transcendental. The Lord has nothing to do with material activities. One who understands the appearance, disappearance, and activities of the Lord is immediately liberated. After giving up his body, he never again has to accept a material body, but is transferred to the spiritual world. Jaktva deham punar janma, naiti mam iti so arjuna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyana timirandasya, gyananjana shalakaya. Chakshuram militangena tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Gurun Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Garun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patiranam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Zadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Verse again, Shishuka Uvacha, Itam Virin Chas Duta Karma Viryaha, Padur Babu Vamrita Bur Adityam, Chator Buja Shanka, Gadabja Chakraha, Pishanga Vasha Nalina Yatekshanaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death, like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. So, very nice descriptions of the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada stating in the purport that one has to be very intelligent to understand the incarnations of the Lord and not to mistake them as an ordinary human being. Whenever I read descriptions of the appearance of the Lord, I'm often reminded of an experience that I had quite early on in my Krishna consciousness, where one devotee who was assisting and helping to guide me in my Krishna consciousness was detecting some pride or arrogance within myself, and which is, there's still plenty of it there. So he was probably detecting a lot of it. And he decided to help me to understand my real position, because he could see that I was obviously contemplating and beginning to think that maybe I was possibly God and that everyone should listen to me and do exactly as I think and as I say. So we went through this whole process of remembering the appearance of Lord Krishna and how the Lord looked when he appeared, and how he was decorated with so many beautiful jewels, and he had full head of curly locks of gold, and he had four arms and was already completely dressed, and how beautiful and amazing he looked when he appeared. And then I said, wow, that's really amazing. And he said, so what about you? When you appeared, how did you look? And I was thinking, oh, well, I probably didn't have any ornaments. And he said, no, probably you were covered in blood and mucus and all sorts of nasty stuff. And when you came into the world, the first thing that happened to you was someone smacked you on the backside and you immediately started crying. And I thought, yeah. And I began to kind of understand where he was going with this program, that it's the living entity's conditioned state in this world is that we want to be God, or we're also thinking that we're God. Therefore, the process of hearing the Lord's pastimes is that we try to bring the Lord down to our level and minimize his actions and activities, thinking with our own tiny brains that we can understand and comprehend the glories and the magnificence and the actions and activities of the Lord. But the Bhagavad Gita explains that janma karma cha me devyam evam yuvati tatvadaha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mamiti surajuna. And Srila Prabhupada is quoting here that actually it is in the interest of the living entity to understand the janma karma cha me devyam, the transcendental activities and appearance of the Supreme Lord. But in order to do that, one has to be intelligent. And what does that mean, that one has to be intelligent? It means one has to begin to understand. Srila Prabhupada said real knowledge, real intelligence, is understanding who is God, what is spiritual energy, what is material energy, and who is the controller of both. So real knowledge or real intelligence means that we understand this principle, and we understand where we fit into the scheme of things. So who is God? Who is the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord? And who is actually in control of everything? Which generally, one's conclusion would be that it's not me who's in control of everything. Which unfortunately, for us, is a very difficult pill to swallow, especially because our propensity sometimes is to definitely try to control and manipulate, as Bhagavad Gita explains in the 7th chapter, is it text 5? How does that verse begin? The verse after Bhumira Po Naloba Yo Kamano Buddhihira Vichahankara Itiyami Bina Prakritir Asadaha. The next one is? What? Yeah, apariyamatastvanyam prakritim vidimeparam jivabhutam mahabaho yeyadam darite jagat. The living entity who is spiritual by nature is residing in the material world and is exploiting the resources of Krishna's material energy. So this is what we're doing here. We're trying to exploit the resources of the Lord's energy for what? For our own pleasure, for our own benefit. And in this way, basically we're suffering. And so many persons in the world are suffering. We can see ourselves either still in somewhat of a suffering condition or coming out of a suffering condition, but especially this time of year when we go out on the streets to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, if anyone here is taking the opportunity to do that, then we begin to see exactly how much people are suffering and how much people are actually looking for something else. At the moment in Soho, we're reading from the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the fifth chapter. We're reading about Narada Muni's instruction to Srila Vyasadeva in order to write the Bhagavatam. And in that section, the glories of the Bhagavatam are being extolled. And just yesterday we were reading, I think it's, I can't remember which verse it was, maybe it was 15 or 16. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was so nicely saying that that we have to hear the glories of the Lord because this is the only medicine for curing the living entity of material disease. He's saying that there may be so many other processes that one may attempt or try to cure oneself, but first we have to accept that basically everyone here is pretty much sick. We're contaminated by lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, madness, and we're overwhelmed by this illness in the material world, and the only hope, the only cure is for people to get the opportunity to associate with the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the way that one can associate with the Lord directly is through the Bhagavatam, through the pages of the Bhagavatam. He says, even though really the Bhagavatam is for Paramahamsas, the Bhagavatam is for those who are pretty much almost completely free from material attachment. He says, but at the same time, the Bhagavatam is the only hope for humanity at large. Because only by getting the association of the Lord, who is in his literary incarnation as the Bhagavatam, only by getting that association can someone gradually become free from this material disease. And then he says that devotees should become expert, or expert devotees, they devise great plans of how to administer this medicine. He says this transcendental knowledge in medicinal doses to the living entities who are completely contaminated and diseased in the material world. Of course, when we read this, we know that Srila Prabhupada is that expert personality who made the Bhagavatam available to everyone and who sent devotees out on the streets and into the shops and into the world, literally putting this Bhagavatam into the hands of persons who are completely inadequate and disqualified to receive it. But in a mood of compassion, in the spirit of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and under the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to spread this holy name and spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village, then Srila Prabhupada has expertly devised the method and the process by which this can be done. And that empowered activity is transcendental book distribution, which, of course, if anyone here is going out and distributing books, by any chance, for all the people who are distributing are already out. Yeah. So everyone is making some effort. So we know that, some days are better than others. Myself was out yesterday going to many different businesses, and actually, at the you know, by the end of the day, many people we hadn't been able to speak to, they were busy in meetings, so many different things, going from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And we wound up with actually no score at all to turn in. And I was like, feeling extreme, well, I was exhausted, but I was also extremely frustrated. I was thinking, this is not so good. But there was one amazing experience that we had with one lady who I met probably about 4 years ago in the businesses. And when I first met her, she was she was open, but she was also very stressed, busy with business. But through the interactions, even though it's only like once a year we go more or less to visit, because unfortunately our follow-up is not so expert. But by this year, the fourth time that I had been to visit her, we had developed nice rapport. And last year, I gave her a maha garland and gave her a little murti of Krishna. And she was keeping that on her desk. And she came down the steps this time when we went to visit, and she was so happy. She was like, wow, it's so wonderful to see you. And I just wanted to say thank you so much last year for that amazing gift. And then she told the story about the garland. And she said, for 3 days I wore that garland every day at work. And I could just feel such power and energy and life coming from it. And then she said, I did what you said. I hung it up so that it would dry nicely. She said, but throughout the month, I got really, really stressed. It was really, really busy. She said, and one day, she said, I was so stressed out that I had really come to the end of the line, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. She said, I was literally sitting at my desk shaking. And I thought, this is it, you know, and my mind was completely bewildered. She said, and then I looked at that garland, and I thought, yes, that's what I need. And she said, she took the garland off the wall, and she put it around her neck, and she just sat, and she said, and then I just tried to meditate for like 5 minutes. I just closed my eyes, and I started breathing deeply, and I just held onto that garland, and was just like, trying to meditate. She said, and all of a sudden I was just overwhelmed with this feeling of happiness and goodness. And I opened my eyes, and it was like everything had changed. Everything was different. And she said, so you saved my life. And I was like, whoa. So I was meditating that, okay, so in one sense I didn't get the results that I wanted, quote unquote, let's say the fruitive results, but actually the real result has come. The actual result had manifested, which is that somehow by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have been able to reach out to another soul in this world who's basically suffering like anything and help. And I was thinking, that's actually the real goal. That's the real goal of all of what we're doing. Although it's easy to get caught up in the numbers and the scores and the positions and, you know, what I'm doing and my contribution and so many different things. But actually, that's when we boil it down, that's what we're doing. We're genuinely trying to make heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul contact with another living entity and bring them closer to Krishna. That's really all we're trying to do. And Srila Prabhupada has just given us the medium for which to do that by giving Krishna to them directly, by putting Krishna into their lives. So, so it's easy sometimes to forget these important things or lose focus. Then of course we always hear that, you know, the result isn't in our hands, that we have to leave the result up to Krishna. And sometimes he teaches us that lesson much more clearly than other times. But at the same time, the real result is that we're trying. That's actually, that we just endeavor. For the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, we make some endeavor to follow their instructions and to give Krishna to others. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Was that not the conscience. Oh, so it's not only at Soho, okay. Jai, Hari Om. So, this time of month is very enlivening and inspiring for the devotees. I was just saying to one devotee how it's nice because everyone feels focused and engaged in the mission. It's like everyone becomes clear about what they're meant to do, you know. And if you're not doing that, then you're clear that I'm probably not doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing, you know, because it's like this time of year for me, it's like everything just becomes ekeha, you know. It's like the goal is to distribute books, you know, books, 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 books. And whatever opportunity or chance we have, then we should be meditating on how we can distribute, even if it's just one book, you know, one book a day, or have some meaningful interaction or conversation with someone. Because just by an interaction with a devotee, then people get so much mercy, so much agata sukriti is created, you know, and if devotees are acting in the right consciousness, then they can begin to qualify and make, you know, that individual soul so fortunate, you know, to help lead them just a little bit, just by giving a little interaction, giving a little prasadam, or even literally just giving some association in a positive way, that if someone goes away thinking favorable, you know, or favorably about that devotee or the movement, then Krishna becomes very favorable to them. And he begins keeping an eye on them, thinking, yes, yes, and trying to direct their life in such a way that they get another interaction with a devotee and they become qualified. I remember one person that I met in a town on book distribution, and he was right rough type of person, and he didn't have many nice things to say about me and what I was doing out on the street. But I just kept trying to be positive and encouraging him. And he wasn't going to take a book because they were just a bunch of old brainwashing nonsense and all kinds of things like this. But then I encouraged him to at least he should give one penny. I was like, come on, you know, don't be so miserly. Give a penny at least. And he said, oh, what's a penny going to do? And I said, our spiritual master says, even if you give one penny, you'll receive eternal benefit. I said, that's pretty good. Shopping for the day, right? One penny and eternal benefit? I mean, come on. Chuck the penny in the bag. Let's just get off. And he just he laughed eventually and he just said, alright. And he pulled out, usually if you say that to people, they'll give you at least a quid, right? But this guy just pulled out one and he said, one penny. That's it. And he threw it in the bag. And I was like, thank you, thank you. And then a few weeks later, a month later, I was back in that town again, and I happened to see the same guy again. Which, as you know, if you're going out on books, it's not so often that you see the same person again. So I bumped into him, and he came up to me. And he said, hey, how's it going? You're back out here. And he was already more pleasant in his interaction and dealing, like friendly. And I said, yeah, it's going okay, you know, we just had some idle chat. And then I said, so you're ready? Today you're going to take the book? And he said, he's like, I'm not taking that book. And I was like, okay, well, look, at least you can help out again. I said, but this time the stakes have risen. I was like, so you got to give a quid, come on, just one quid. And he just laughed and he patted me on the shoulder and he said, all right, one quid. And then he gave a pound. And I thought, this is great. This guy's made 100% progress in a couple of months. So then again, it was like some months later, wound up back again in the same place. And there was this person again. And this time he came up and he was really friendly. And I thought, one quid and this 101 and this guy's doing real good. And he said, you know, I can't believe you come out here so much. This is really good. You know, it's amazing that you keep coming out and you keep coming back. It must be hard. And he was having some compassion and empathizing with the service. And he said, it must be really important what you're doing. And I said, yeah, it's the most important thing. And then he said, you know what, I think today I'm going to take one of those books. And I was like, yeah. So I gave him a Gita. And he said, so how much do you want for it? And I said, well, you know, give whatever you like, give from the heart kind of thing. I was like, most people give 5 or 10, but you can give 100 if you like, that won't be any problem. But he said, anyway, I'm not giving you 100. So he pulled out 5 quid and he gave 5 quid donation and he took the book. And I just thought, that's amazing, you know. We can see how someone has become qualified over time. From the beginning, he was completely inimical. And eventually he started coming to the temple and becoming more involved. So it's someone who, like, you see how people actually make progress. But in the beginning, we just need to, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, we just need to qualify people and we need to leave them with a very good impression. You know, we need to be careful that we're not out there shaking people down and getting upset and frustrated because they only give a penny or because they give too little or whatever it is. But we need to just be ambassadors of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and really set an amazing example of kindness and friendliness that inspires the living entity from within. That makes them think, wow, this is a nice person. Even though I don't want the book, I don't want anything to do with him, but he was nice. And they think favorably. At least they think favorably about devotees. So like this. Anyway, there are so many things to say, but we're coming near the end of time. Does anyone have any questions, comments, corrections?